we got a lot of things to be thankful for in this country. We're coming up on the season of Thanksgiving. From what I keep trying to remind myself and remind everybody else, when we start complaining about the cold, we start complaining about this, we complain about that. Here's the problem with complaining. You start on one thing, you just keep rolling. You'll find something to complain. I can find something to complain about today. I can. I can find something to complain about sleeping in a 79-degree room. You have to turn the ceiling fan on in the middle of the night. I fired up the wood burner last night. Got new pipe and stuff. It's like, yeah, I got to run that. We'll find something to complain about all the time. It did feel good on the joints, I ain't going to lie. It was nice and dry. But we need to remember to praise the Lord and give him thanks. Give him honor in all these things. Yeah. Guess what, folks? The way the country's trying to head right now isn't the first time it's tried to go this route. People have been after our freedom for years. Not everybody that was alive during the revolution wanted the revolution. They didn't want freedom. We just keep moving. We'll keep praising God. Because I do believe that Jesus is returning very soon. And when I say soon, I believe in my lifetime. So don't think that just because, well, you know, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that, that doesn't matter what so-and-so said. It's what Father God says. Amen. Well, we've got a couple real quick announcements. Today's War on the Floor. Do not forget that. If you haven't given your prayer request up here in the offering, you can hand it to our usher in the back. And when he comes up, he'll get it. And we'll be praying over all those. Also, this Thursday, 11/11, is Veterans Day. Bless a veteran with your gratitude and even more with your prayers. So, having said that, today we have a little thing we're going to do. We've started doing it. We're going to continue doing it. Now, we're not honestly honoring the veterans in here today. We're going to do that next week because half of us are gone. So I was like, you know what? Veterans Day falls in between. So we can do it one way or the other. But we're going to hand this out so that you can find somebody during the week or even afterwards. Now, what we're going to ask you to do, though, is the cards are unsigned. They're still open. The gift is inside them. Sign your name. You don't have to give your mother's maiden name. You do not have to give your favorite color, your first name, the name of your first pet. Just your name and say thank you. Okay? And but you can if you want. I know a lot of people, this is the world. Listen, my social security number was stolen 25 years ago. Whoop-de-ding-dong. What are they going to do? Take away my birthday? They've tried. Somebody tried buying a bunch of shoes on my credit card one time. They steal stuff all the time. You've already been thieved, stolen from, robbed. Don't worry about writing something thank you and encouraging somebody. Because you never know what somebody else is going through. You know, especially with a lot of the veterans. Today I was reading some posts the other day about an Afghanistan veteran who was commenting about the Vietnam guys, and he said, I have PTSD now, and he said, I can't imagine you guys from the Vietnam. He said, people made fun of you, they did this, they did that. We made fun of that. How stupid are we? As human beings, to make fun of somebody who went and did something that we were too chicken to do. I heard one guy bragging about how he was headed to Canada. I'm sitting in the passenger seat thinking, boy, you know how quick I could grab that steering wheel and put you in the telephone pole? I was going to go to Canada. My dad had already got the plane ticket and everything. Listen, coward. I ain't saying what we... Honestly, I look back, I don't think we should have ever been there. We shouldn't have. We went for the wrong reasons. But in the end, we should never have turned our backs. And there's still a bunch of these Vietnam vets out, and there's a lot of these guys from Iraq and Afghanistan who are walking around wounded right now. And so, you know, we want to take the time to honor him. But we have another special gift that's done in the name of the veterans from this church that we'll reveal next week. So, but having said that, I would like one representative from each family until we run out of cards to come up. I'm not going to say we got 20 because I don't know what we got. My wife has been handling
20.
20, okay. So one rep from each family. Come up and we'll get a card and remember to sign it. Huh? Yes, there is a $20 bill in there for a lunch. That's about all that it's going to cover today. Y'all, I paid $27 at Subway the other day, and all I got was a 12-inch sub, bag of chips, and a drink, and she got one without bread. But it might be because we were in the middle of West Virginia. And I said, $27 for a bologna sandwich? Are you kidding me? We got three more. Okay, oh, Maggie's right there. Is there somebody that didn't get one? No, we can do it. Or hold it. No, he doesn't have one. All right, yeah, because... All right, praise God. We'll see how nice that worked out. God worked it out perfectly. So remember, just bless somebody. And by the way, don't give it to the guy, anybody in here. I'm going to just say that because the first year we did that, somebody handed me the card. You missed the point. Give it to somebody. Okay, we've all pretty much, we've been doing this enough years, we've given it to about everybody we personally know, right? There's a lot of these guys walking around with red, white, and blue caps. They're not that hard to spot, especially if you go stand out by the VA in Marion. If you don't know where it's at, it's over by Matthews Ford, but behind the old Michael's Steakhouse. Go over there. There's a lot of them going in and out of there every day. All right, so having said that, let me see, what else have I got? Oh, yes, we have a membership class next week at 4:30 here at the church. We'll talk about, discuss the things we've had several people ask about.
Actually,
it.
Yeah, really read that because we'll need to know this week if they're going to come to it. So we can
Pastor Art will be having a membership class at 4:30 p.m. here at His Feet at AHFCC. We will share about the church, the benefits and the expectations of membership, as well as answer questions you may have. Note, we encourage folks to attend here for approximately 6 months. That way you know that you're supposed to be here. We've had people join, and in 2 weeks after they joined, they left. I'm like, well, you could have saved yourself and me a lot of time. Before committing to membership, you are absolutely welcome to attend this class, though, to learn what being a member would mean for you. And if planning to attend, please contact me or Angela by Thursday, November 11th, and we can prepare class information materials for you. And if you can also call the church at 419-946-1042. Also, OCC Collection Week. We're going to have Miss Vicki talk about that here in a minute. Monday, 11:15 through Monday, 11:22. Please pack those shoeboxes. We've already got shoeboxes showing up. Plus, Miss Vicki will be sharing today. Yes, I just shared that part. So, keep that in mind. And hopefully I will have the heat on. The furnace was running the other day, then it shut off, and we found out it wasn't actually pumping all the fuel into the burner. It was just lighting up the ignition bar, and it was heating off of that. And that is in a precarious place to do that. So I got somebody called, but I ran it up to from 50 degrees to 70 degrees in 45 minutes running off of that. So it should be warm over there and cool in the summer. So we will have heating and air conditioning. And I didn't get shocked at all doing any of it, so praise God. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this day. Lord God, we present to you today our tithes and offerings. I bless them, Father, according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Father, may our barns flow freely. Father, that we may bless others, that we may see and be like you, Father, even as Satan failed to remind, we were already like you. We have that ability. Father, bless this tithe and offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I am going to let the... No, you know what? Miss Vicki, come on up. Everybody sit down. I was going to dismiss, but... See, Gage is taking a snooze right now, so that's a good thing for him. And yes, Miss Vicki, come up. Okay. All right, well, you need a microphone? All right.
My mouth?
No.
Hi, everybody. You know what time it is. Pastor Archie said, so CC time. If you're packing a shoebox, you want to know what's going on, grab one of these brochures off the two tables back in the old nursery. Okay. Got all kinds of them, so please, there's the labels on the back. And it's just awesome. Just in all in one pack. Now, Pastor Art and Angela have this year again. They're going to pay for shipping on boxes again. That is our pastor and Mrs. Pastor.
That's y'all, yeah. I'll take it.
These shoe boxes are so important right now. We send these boxes all over the world. You do. With your $9, your filled box. It's just an awesome thing. These kids know nothing about Jesus Christ. Nothing. So they get their chance in this dying world we have here. We need to get the word out there to them. There is a Jesus Christ. There's a way. A way that you can get ahead in this life, by how you can have life and have eternal life.
Amen.
And be happy in the meantime.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, very important. Very, very important. If you can do one, even one.
We just talked about that in that meeting.
Yes.
One box is important. One box is important.
Because it not only gets to that child, it gets to their parents, their community. Gosh, you can touch, how many lives could you touch?
Yes. And people get touched on this side of the box too.
Absolutely.
Like when we went shopping, and then when you have all that stuff that you're bringing up, and they have to ring it up one at a time, so you're at the register for a long time. But then you get to talk about OCC and what you're doing.
They say, are you a teacher? Or is this for your classroom? Or what? What?
Yeah.
So I whip the little pamphlet out. Because I always carry them in my purse. Anyways, this is what we do. We're a collection center. So all the surrounding counties can bring their shoe boxes here. And we take them on with pastors and everybody's help to Mansfield, where they put them on semis and ship them to North Carolina. There's a processing center there where they do open them up and make sure everything in them is legal, etc. Nothing is ever messed with in that box unless it's something that's says in this pamphlet, you know, you can't have it. Like they quit giving candy and toothpaste because it had an expiration date. And I said, I was really sorry to see that leave because the kids love that candy. Well, they ate the toothpaste as candy too. So because they didn't know what it was. So had a guy at one of our meetings talk about that. He said, I didn't smell good, smelled like peppermint. I hate it. I didn't know. And it was good, and it didn't make me sick. So, anyways, we have so many people that have received these boxes. We do have a video that shows some of them, if you'd like to see it. I got a letter from, actually it's an email, from a girl in Uganda. She had my box sitting between her legs, and she had the hat I put in it on. She had the necklace on. She had all the little dinette. She's in Uganda, and she had gloves on. And she was thrilled with these gloves. She said, I've never had a pair of, never really needed a pair, but they're cool. So, anyways, and I have pictures of that, too. She's just a gorgeous little child, and it makes your heart go. She got to know that there is a Jesus Christ because of what I and this congregation did. Without that, she may never have known him, ever. We are also taking up donations for anybody that's interested. These are back on the tables, too. Fill them with change throughout the year. Bring them in, get an empty one, and I give them to Angela, and she puts them in her account for shipping. And it's just a wonderful thing. We look forward to this every year. We have, if you got your newsletter, there was a copy of the hours that will be open at collection. Okay. This year, we're not going to make a schedule for volunteers. We have some of the people that are going to be with us every day, all day long, because we've got some new retirees. So, come and go as you please. We will ask for volunteers for making some lunch for everybody every day, because we're going to be here all day long. So, we usually have a lunch. So rewarding. Last year we had to do it only in the cars. You had to go out to the car and get them. Nobody got out of their cars. Wasn't the same. But this year you have a choice. Either or. OCC prefers we do curbside. However, they said, we know. Bring on in if you need to. That we need to. So a lot of these churches look forward to the coming in. We've made a lot of friends. A lot of friends with a simple little cookie and a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And a lot of conversation. We always pray for them if they're willing. And I've never been turned down yet. So we make sure that they leave here with good thoughts. OCC is well worth your time, well worth your money. You know, that child. Okay, we're spreading the name of Jesus Christ, that's true. These kids have nothing. Nothing. They've never had a toy. Toiletries, like I said, they don't even know what toothpaste is. So, you'll see in this list here, there's a lot of things that you can give them too, like a washcloth, or a soap, toothbrush, you know. And they're just tickled pink. They don't know what to say or what to do when they get one of these boxes. And then you'll see back on the tables too, I have copies of the New Testament and the other literature that OCC puts in your box about Jesus and the journey of Jesus and our journey to get to him. So you can see those back there. I've got all three of them laid out. Now this is the child's choice. I had somebody ask me and wanting to argue about us forcing them. What do they have to sign to get that box? Nothing. She said, yeah, right. I said, nothing. This is the child's choice. We're giving them a gift. And one of those gifts is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't want anything back. It's their choice. We do give them the literature and stuff to know that their choice is a good one. Other than that, we hope for an email back, but in 20 years I've gotten two. What have I forgotten, Miss Right Hand Lady?
Anything. I just would say, even if you can only come in for a little bit during collection week, we have a lot of fun, so you should come, because we really do.
We have some goofy people in here.
No.
So, anyway, I will be back with the tables after service. Anybody has any questions? My number is on the board back there, Sarah's number, whoever you'd like to talk to, the church office, that number's back there. Just please get with us. We're at your disposal. Call us at home, whatever, however you want to do it. I try to be here every Sunday sometimes, but Sarah does too. So please, pack, 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 and hopefully we'll see y'all at collection. Thank you.
Are we playing the video?
The kids are playing, are laughing, joyful.
It's like a whole world to them, because for the first time they have received this precious gift.
Operation Christmas Child gives our church an opportunity to touch the world.
It's a great adventure to evangelize.
You've got an army of volunteers that pack the boxes.
They're helping OCC to take the gospel literally to millions of children.
This is the Good Samaritan work that the Lord is looking for people to do.
Getting people locally to think globally.
What I love about OCC is that they are intentional about pouring into the lives of kids.
They receive a box and also an invitation to come back and learn more about Christ.
We just don't want to just hand out a box and stop there. We want them to grow in their faith.
It's a great tool, an effective tool to reach communities with the gospel of Jesus.
It's exciting to get people to heaven, but it's also exciting to get heaven to people.
It twisted my mic, and they conform to your ear. But anyhow, I was told I have to do this, so I will stand up here, and I'll pack a box. They're alpacas, if you couldn't see that close. She found some alpaca socks. She's like, you've got to wear these socks. I'm like, why? So, anyhow, all right. Praise God. Well, the junior church is dismissed at this time. After I have, humbled myself greatly. Well, Angela and I got a little getaway this week. We had to go get my birth certificate, so it would have been cheaper to have paid them over online, but there was no guarantee I was getting it anytime soon. So we just drove to Charleston, West Virginia, and God worked it out. We pulled in. I put 3/4 in, which I paid for I don't know how many hours, apparently. And we walked from here to about the corner of the lot back to the building, walked in and said, where's the room 165? The security guard said, right there. It was the only room in that area. Walked right in. There was 2 people ahead of me. 15 minutes later, we were heading to my aunt's house, and I'll tell you what, we had a great time. Just a good time unwinding, catching up, and seeing his 9-time world champion Tennessee Walker horse, Jazz Fowler. But I'll tell you right now, Monday, he took me for a ride. Now, mind you, there's 18,000 acres behind his house. It's all timber and mining. And 5,500 of it he has a hunting lease on. So it's awesome. I'm looking at some of my hunters here. It's like, it was pretty awesome. They set their tree stands with a helicopter to tell you what kind of terrain it is. And so we're running around down here in the bottom. We saw one little doe, and he took me back to this cabin. It's 2 miles back from his house, and he's at the edge of the woods. Took me 2 miles back, and we come back, and he starts going around, and he turns, pulls almost a 180, and I look up this hill. That's where we're going, is up this hill. And I kid you not, it was at least like that. I need to check to see what the elevation was, but I'm like, I have watched so many of those videos, these guys trying to hill climb in buggies, and they get halfway up and... But I'm like, okay, Lord, I see that they've been up here before, so these things can actually climb this, I hope. Of course, it was raining, there was loose stone. We climbed up through there, man, it was beautiful. But... anyhow, God is good. It was a beautiful, beautiful trip. We got up the next morning. It was good, cold, crisp. The smoke was rising out of halfway up the mountains, and it was just a wonderful time. And got to spend with some wonderful people. To realize that I'm actually closer to my aunt on my dad's side in age than I am my little brother. So, anyhow, praise God. Well, we're going to continue on. Okay. I looked at the clock. It ain't been reset yet. I was like, man, I guess I ain't going to get to preach at all today or pray. No, we'd pray. But anyway, I want to talk. I'm probably not going to get through all those, Jason, so based on the fact that I know what time it really is. We've been talking about the character of Christ. You know, so many people today, they are characters instead of genuine characters of Christ. They don't let who they are. They take on somebody else's characteristics. When people want to have a protege, next thing you know, they got a mini-me. See, I have three mini-me's, but I want them to be who they are. They're going to act like me, whether they like it or not. It's just hereditary. Your boys are going to act just like you. Your girls are going to act just like you. You're going to see as they're growing up things that you're like, oh, Lord. And that's why parents always say, God's reward for me is grandchildren. Because they're going to act like you. And so, you know, we forget, first off, to try to be the people that God created us to be. But then we start taking on certain attributes that are not godly. Because somebody else said, well, this is the way you do it. And because we thought they were a good person, we think that it is right. But so many things are actually wrong, according to the character of Christ. Now, we went over what we called the Beatitudes last week, and it was just our jumping off point of understanding Christ. Because at no point in there did he say, be a jerk. But most of the jerks I've ever met are Christians. There are some real jerks. Now, the second you let them know you're a pastor, they suddenly become holy again. But just 5 minutes ago, man, they were the biggest jerk that ever walked the earth. And some of the biggest jerks of those I've seen are pastors. Now, I'm not going to lie, there have been a couple times I can be a jerk. But one of the things that I've come... I've given her a moment. I mean, she missed a good chance to say amen. But obviously not too bad. She's still with me after 32 years. It's compassion. You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, this day, and this is the message God wanted me to start on today, was compassion, and we're working with OCC. The word compassion originates from the original Latin, which means to suffer with. That's not really what we think about, is it? But that's what it means to have compassion on somebody. You feel their pain. When somebody dies, you know, you may not necessarily have known the person, but you can put yourself in their shoes and feel their pain. We call it empathy. And they say, by the way, if you are not empathetic, that is one of the first red flags. Psychopath? Sociopath? Okay. You're a nut job. And I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean that in you are a potential murderer. Serial murderer. All the guys we've locked up there, they've been crazy. They have no empathy. They can't feel pain. They can't feel others' pain, how they're hurting. And it's not to say that, you know, when we feel somebody's pain, that we all suddenly we throw them into a depression. They don't need you to enter into that depression. They need you to come in and be there with them, to pray for them, to just talk to them, sometimes even listen. Because honestly, y'all, I have less words when I'm just sitting out and about. Right there's the one who comes up with all the compassionate stuff to write and all this stuff. It's not me, and it's not that I'm not hurting. It's I can actually listen better sometimes. And I found a lot of times people just need to talk, and they need to dump it. They need to dump it at Crumpet, get rid of it. So people, they don't look. What I started getting around with people is they just start, well, Jesus was this, Jesus was this, Jesus was that. Jesus was not a televangelist, okay? Jesus didn't walk around in a 5,000 shekel robe. He walked. Their walking clothes were not exactly the greatest. Why? Because they got dirty. Their feet were usually black from the dust. They traveled all the time. They slept outside. If you sleep outside long enough and you take a bath in the creek, what are you going to start smelling like? You're going to start smelling like fish. You're going to start smelling like the woods. They didn't have all the perfume soaps. They didn't have frankincense and myrrh to pour in their hair all the time. So they traveled. And that we forget that image of who Christ is. And we need to understand something. Who Christ is who the Father is. Jesus said, you want to see the Father, you have seen me. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So these are the attributes of our Father God. Well, I look in the Bible and I see this, this, and this. You need to get in the Bible and you need to see God through those eyes. Many people, I see God was a mean person. And he told the children of Israel to go into Canaan and to kill all the Canaanites. Do you understand? They practiced child sacrifice. They killed human beings and sacrificed them to a stupid rock. And by stopping this once and for all, you need to understand something. Kids will carry on your bad stuff, especially if you keep, and if they made it through not being sacrificed. The Mayans, I wholeheartedly believe God let the Mayans go because they had gotten so violent and evil. But God did that with the Canaanites because that's what they were doing. The whole Hurricane Katrina, all of us in here, I'm looking around, we're all alive at that time. And, except for somebody who's taking a nap. We looked at that. The world looked at it and said, oh, if God was so merciful, why would he let something tragic happen? It's a tragedy. And there was a priest in Louisiana in New Orleans who came back and said, that's what you see. But he said, everybody's like, it's God's judgment. He said, I see this as God's mercy. People that were stuck in the system, people that were trapped by the poverty, by the abuse, by the drugs, they were now pushed out to find someplace else. My family, I look back, you know, I love West Virginia. I really do. It's a beautiful state. And not every place I was in West Virginia was always that beautiful. Because, you know, just like any place, even around here, oh yeah, Ohio's a beautiful state too. A lot of things are beautiful when they got leaves on them. Let the leaves fall off and let the trash rise up, right? But it's a beautiful state. And I look back and now knowing some of the family traits and tendencies that were in there, and some of the lines we my family had already gotten sucked into, it was God's mercy to move us to Ohio. Yeah, it wasn't always fun. Didn't have hardly any family. But it was God's mercy. Or I could have been a drug dealer. I could have been a violent person. I mean, people already say I'm violent, but I could have really been somebody who had no conscience. I could have been somebody so evil and vile that I wouldn't be here today. So, you know, when we look back, we need to understand God has compassion and he sees himself in our shoes. And so that's how he's directing our lives. So if we'll open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now this was, I think his last part, particularly Matthew, got to really see the people. They were lost. And they were coming to Jesus. But he saw something in Jesus, that Jesus was moved with compassion. He was suffering with them. He as a human being. That's what people need to understand. Jesus is the Son of God, was the Son of God, came down, took on flesh and blood permanently so that he could have compassion, so he could suffer with us, to understand everything about being a human. He knows your aggravations. He knows your tendencies because he had to have them in order to be able to overcome them. And so he looked at all, saw all these people that were wandering aimlessly because religion had failed them. Religion will fail you 100% of the time because religion is not a relationship. It does not introduce you to the person of God the Father. It introduces you to a list of rules and regulations, which, by the way, have been added upon so many times by stupid wives' tales that people stick on them. Well, this is the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in there, folks. As a matter of fact, I remember what Jesus said about one of the most life-changing preachers that hit the earth ever, and that was the one that was before him, John the Baptist. Jesus said, what'd you come out to look at? Y'all came out here to look at it. He wears goats or camel skin, folks. That's not exactly like wearing Armani. You know, I mean, that's not even wearing camouflage, folks. Camels were, they were lowly animals. Any beast of burden was considered lowly. He ate wild honey and locusts. Folks, he was eating grasshoppers. Yum, yum. Maybe if you chocolate cover them, I can do them. I haven't really thought about it. I mean, there's been a couple bugs. I'm like, oh, I know what they smell like when you squash them, and you want me to eat that thing? So I'm moved to compassion with Jesus on this when he looked and he saw all those people. They were so hungry for what he had that he was moved to continue. He realized in his mind and his heart how bad it was that they didn't have anybody they could look up to lead them, because all the scribes and the Pharisees had become politicians, much the way a lot of our preachers and our generals, they're politicians. They're playing a political game. Well, don't take my rights, don't do this, don't do that, you know, and I'll speak good things for you. I don't really give a rip. I don't care what my government promises. You want to take away my tax exemption? So what? I personally pay taxes. That was a misconception. I'd always, oh yeah, the preacher, he doesn't have to pay taxes. Want to bet? Self-employment taxes are more. But anyhow, so Jesus saw them scattered like sheep. Next verse, Matthew chapter 18, verse 33. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. But he, and if you remember, these messages Jesus was telling, he's telling from a God and a human point of view. The king in this story represented God. And the servant owed owed so much money. There's just no way. He must have been part of the United States government. He owed so much money, nobody was ever getting out of it. And he saw the brokenness of this man who was begging for mercy. And the king forgave him. But then the man was walking down the street and saw somebody and said, "Hey, you owe me 10 bucks. "Well, I ain't got 10 bucks. I'm trying to go get a job. I'll pay you 10 bucks when I can get it." "Oh, no, you're going to pay me now." And drug him off to prison. I thank God they did away with that. Because they take your kids, too. I mean, I'm not, yeah, there's, well, that's the way they used to do it. It doesn't stop. Squat. It just takes your kids away from you, and then you can't get out of it. But anyhow, and he threw him in prison, and then the word got back to the king. Again, the king is God, the Father. And he brought this man into him, and he said, "Why didn't you have compassion? I had compassion on you. Why didn't you extend it to your neighbor? Why didn't you extend it to your brother?" Because what happens is we forget because we have not taken the time to develop compassion towards people. Now, I'm not saying that just because you see somebody standing on a street corner holding a sign that says homeless, that they are. That's why I tell you, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. There are legitimately people who are in a bad way real quick. But what I am telling you is you need to have compassion. Don't just drive by and say, "Get a job, you jerk." I have heard that from Christians, from their mouth to my ear. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that God just, that he cringed when he heard that. You don't know why they are there. You don't know. You don't know what lie they were told. We ended up homeless during my first grade year. We were homeless. We went back to West Virginia. Dad was promised a job in Indianapolis. Went there. We left Rob's grandparents had a place we were renting. And we went to Indianapolis. Well, guess what? There was no job there. The trailer that Dad was able to rent kind of overlooked this little lake. And you open up the bathroom door and you could see the lake through the floor. There was no floor. And it was cold. It was the middle of the winter. So we ended up back in Buffalo, West Virginia, bouncing a couple times between families. It was not a good situation. And in all of that, you know, I could see, well, why didn't he go get a job? He had a job. He was lied to by somebody who, by the way, was his cousin. Why? Because the man was greedy. I've learned a lot of things about him in the last, even this weekend. But you don't know why somebody might be there. They just walked off. Things happen. Every person has a breaking point. You can push and push and push and push and push, expecting them to perform and perform and perform. Why do you think we have so many athletes doing stupid stuff, thinking they're going to walk away? Why do you think we have so many celebrities doing stupid stuff? They've now gotten to a point where they're wanting somebody to stop them. When is enough enough? Well, I got to be known around the world. I got to have this. I got to have this. I got power. I got money. You ain't got squat. It can be taken from you in a heartbeat. But we should not be sitting there judging other people because of a situation they're in. Well, if you'd have just made the right decision, if you'd have just gone to college, if you'd have just taken that job I told you. You know what? They didn't. They have consequences. They understand that. But you know what? That $3 in your pocket that you're just holding on to so you can go waste it at, I don't even know what $3 will buy anymore. I was going to say go buy a Starbucks, but last time I was there, you couldn't touch it for under $5. So that was a waste. And I don't even like Starbucks. What are you going to do with it? Well, they're going to go buy drugs. You don't know that. By the way, the last time I checked, you can't buy drugs for $3. Well, they're just going to keep gathering it up. Well, maybe they're going to go buy a meal. You don't know what they're going to do. There's actually a lot more compassion even amongst the homeless than there is amongst the people trying to help them. By the way, we have homeless shelters. If you'd like to volunteer, they're in Columbus. Faith Mission runs some of them. We've been down there to a couple of them. It's heartbreaking to see a human being sleeping on a parking curb and it's 20 degrees out. His blanket was covered in frost. On a parking curb. He wasn't even on the... wasn't he tucked in a corner? But that's the problem. We have that mindset in us today. We no longer have compassion on people. We can't put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. Somebody loses a child. I knew a lady who... a lady and a father, the son, husband and wife, they were watching their son work a tractor. The tractor flipped over and killed him. Okay. The load he was pulling was too heavy and the tractor flipped and killed him. They watched it. The woman was never the same. I wouldn't be the same. Yep, I heard Christians talk about her. And I was too young to understand yet. But you know what? The fact that she held on, she is still alive. The fact she held on is testament enough. She never denied Jesus Christ. She, from that point on, she did have sometimes shaky grasp on things. Totally understandable. But yet, Christians judged her. See, that's not the compassion of Christ. That's the arrogance of religion. I'm better. I've got it all figured out. You ain't got crap figured out. You don't know yet. You haven't experienced. There's things I haven't experienced. I don't want to experience. And I know a lot of you in here, I'm sitting around looking at it, and I know you've experienced a lot. You've experienced some loss, some serious hurts, betrayals, deaths. Maybe you were young, and they still leave a mark. God has compassion. And we should have compassion for people who are hurting. But you got saved. That means Jesus just took it all away. Hallelujah. No. This is stuff you have to work out. Because what the problem is when you start digging and you find one thing. Oh yeah, I got that dealt with. Next thing you know, you found something else you had to deal with that you didn't realize was festering in there. One of the guys my uncle was talking about, he was that guy at the... with a farrier that day, he came to look at the horses. He's a Vietnam vet. And he's not supposed to be alive. I met two guys this weekend who were not supposed to be alive. The one guy was actually on the dead pile. Okay? He's a Marine. He was on the dead pile. And he groaned when somebody was walking by. And they found him and started working on him. And he's still alive today. He was a nice guy. And he was out setting baits. And, but anyhow, the other guy had so much shrapnel in his body, they can't get it all out. And so he'll be sitting there with them and he'll just go, oh, ow, oh, oh, and he'll just start working in this piece of shrapnel from nearly 50 years ago. Well, it would be 50 years ago for him. 50 years ago, this piece of shrapnel comes out of his... He has had to go to the hospital on an average of 3 times a year to have his lungs, his one lung reinflated because he keeps deflating it with shrapnel. Now, we would look at him and say, he's a nut job, whatever. Put yourself in his shoes. You need to have faith that God's going to heal you. Until we get faith and understand that God loves us, I got news for you people. You can prophesy all you want. You can lay hands on people all you want. But until you do it in love, you haven't done anything but make a loud racket. That's scripture. until you're doing it in love, until you can put yourself, I understand. Okay? I get it. I disobeyed God, by the way. I disobeyed God, and I don't want you to disobey God because it hurts. But God's compassion is what the tree didn't kill me. It didn't paralyze me. God's compassion was still in operation. And my arrogant stupidity, because that's what it was, I didn't want that tree laying there yet. I wanted the other tree there. I looked back, I was like, it would have made no difference. God knew that, though. He wasn't going to argue with my stupidity. He knew his compassion. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew that I was going to turn around and be able to use it. Because like I said, it's being used on the other end of the county in another church, because the preacher already asked me if he could use that scenario. I said, by all means, if somebody will learn to listen to God. So compassion is something that even Jesus used in his messages. Mark chapter 8, 2 through 3. That is what you were able to see, right? Third one down. Did I skip one? It should be Mark chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. I might have forgot to put it on there. My bad. They had to come up and ask me, what's that say? I have terrible sometimes when I'm writing it. But anyhow. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me these 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Do you know what I hear people doing today? Go away. We have nothing for you. Go away. We were actually at a minister's deal. And they said, we'll provide food. We got food provided. All right, praise God. You know? Well, they were bag lunches, basically bologna sandwiches. And what they wanted for the price of that sandwich and that meal, so I didn't have to go down the road, was more than what I'd gone and bought a steak dinner for. Yeah, it was ridiculous. We said, no, thank you. I ain't afraid of driving. To be honest with you, why didn't you give it to me? See, this is when they looked around. It's like, we ain't got no food. Jesus said, that ain't a problem. What have we got? What have you got? You find somebody that needs some food? Well, I don't have enough to give them a whole bunch. What do you have? I know of a preacher who his church was not taking care of him. They were the board, which, you know, I praise God, I have a good board. They were keeping him humble. And for those of you who've been around long enough knows that meant they were keeping him poor. He was basically borderline begging for scraps from people. And he said, we got down, we had no more food. We were out of food. They lived right down the end of the lane from the church. The church is over by Crestline, between Crestline and Galleon on 61. It's no longer the same church, thank God. But they did that. They kept him poor. That night, God moved on somebody's heart and said, take this man and his family some food. So they got out paper bags and they started putting food in the thing. And they showed up at midnight with bags of groceries that they took out of their cabinets. Okay, this wasn't stockpiled. This was stuff they had. And they took it and they gave it to this man, and I think they even gave him some money. And I was talking to him a while back, a couple years back, and he was telling me about this. And as he told me, he choked up because of the goodness of God. See, somebody obeyed and they listened. But Jesus was moved with compassion. It means to suffer with. I've never really gone hungry. Never. Yeah, we weren't rich. We ate pinto beans a lot. which I still like pinto beans, even though I knew what it always meant. I'd come home, I'd smell, the house was super clean, and there was a pot of pinto beans on the stove. We're out of money, aren't we? Yep. And I've never starved. I've eaten things I didn't care to. Now, when it comes to eat what's in front of you anymore, I'm a little picky, I'm not going to lie. I tried not to offend the people in Ukraine, but I cannot try pickled herring. It had a fishy smell. Fishy fish and me do not get along. And I ate groundhog one time. I wish it had actually been shot, but it was roadkill. That's not a good combination. That was bad. I keep telling, people say, you get a good young one, they're good to eat. They are vegetarian, so by rights, they should be. It dawned on me. It was the fact it was run over. Don't ever do that. Yeah, it was Himalayan groundhog. They found Himalayan on the road. Bad news. You can't, it's their guts, just so you know. You cannot let that touch anything. It ruins the animal. Deer will do the same thing if they're ruptured too. I'm going to have to stop right there, because I've got like six more scriptures to go on, because compassion is a key part of who we're supposed to be. We do not have compassion like we're supposed to. Why does this person keep acting like this? Well, you may not know their full story. And that's why I encourage people to tell your children stories. We sat down and I learned things that were totally wrong from what I'd been told. I'm like, well, that actually answers a few things. Makes more sense. Because I told her, my aunt, I said, you know, this lady I've never met before, but she was my uncle, my great uncle's caretaker, who I went to see, who was on Iwo Jima. And she lived in the same area. And she asked me, she says, what happened in the family? What happened with that property? I said, I have no idea. Nobody would tell me. Well, I found out. There was a lot of coal, a lot of gas, and a lot of timber on that property. And somebody made out with a lot of money. They gave my grandpa $500. They didn't need it. The other people didn't need it, but greed drove it. By the way, it's the same person who told my dad he had a job in Indiana. And I have told you my grandpa had no legs, so he couldn't work. But yet they did. They managed. They did whatever they could do. So, you know, even if it was running moonshine, which I'm sorry, government, they don't like competition. Every senator, every congressman, when they found out that prohibition, they had stockpiles of booze put away for themselves. They didn't even believe in the law they passed. But anyhow, that's all getting off whole other subject. But we have got to start having compassion. Why does that person drink? Why are they an alcoholic? There's a reason. I have to ask, why was my grandfather such an alcoholic? I'd like to have known him. I don't know why, but I do know this. His dad died when he was a little boy. What happened? Compassion won't let you look beyond. Compassion judges the person. Compassion does not judge the person. Compassion looks beyond and puts themselves, where would I be? Paul said it the best. He said, therefore, but the grace of God go I. If it weren't for the grace of God, I would be an alcoholic. I would be violent. Can I be a violent person? Every last one of us can, for the right reason. You mamas, There's a reason why they say, they use the term, don't mess with a mama bear and her cubs. They relate you to a bear, for crying out loud. Any man that tangles with a bear takes his life in his own hands. Rob, if you'll bring me the prayer request. Which, by the way, while I was looking at this one stand today, it's set with a helicopter. It was on a rock outcrop that stuck out. Oh, I'd say it was about, be like the platform up here, sticking out off the side of the mountain. And they've got this thing anchored by cables to the rock. And I looked up and I was like, man, there's looks like somebody's been shooting the corners off of the post. I mean, they're only 4x4s. Like, somebody's been shooting them, and the back one was worse than that. I mean, there was just one mark where a bullet looked like it tore through the wood. And I'm like, I asked Uncle, I said, is somebody shooting rifles at your stands? Because they do get people, and that's why he has the lease. And I said, is somebody shooting your stands? He looks at me and says, no, those are bears. And I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, so there's the way in. There's no way out if a bear comes down that hill at us, except to jump off of this thing and land 40 feet down, which this building is 40 feet wide. And I said, you know what, it might be time for us to go back and get in a side-by-side, and because all I had was my little 9mm. I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to do. That's just going to make the bear mad. And we don't want to be on the end of a rock we got to jump off of, especially with him being 65 and me being 51. It wouldn't be it's not going to be a fun ride. So you know when we pray for these things, put yourself in their shoes. Have compassion on them. Oh, that just seems like this, and this is, you know what? Don't try to figure stuff out. It isn't our job. I'm learning that. It's not my job to try to figure it out. It's not my job to fix it unless God says, here's what you can do. Because inside of me is everything to try to fix something, right? Most men were built that way. We want to fix it. The woman just wants to talk. No. She wants to talk about the situation. We want to go in and fix it. And she's like, just listen to me.
Because we're trying to fix your mind.
See, now they've taken over. They've taken over our side. They're trying to fix us. We're trying to fix them. How about if we just quit trying to fix everybody and we listen to each other? And I'm just going to shut up. Because that's not what I was trying to say. Because I've been told, all I want you to do is listen. That's not what guys do. We listen, we hear, challenge accepted. I will fix it. Okay. And if you've noticed around, we have several families who are out sick. We've had a couple of surgeries this week. Pat had his shoulder worked on, and Addie ended up having appendicitis Friday night, so she just got to go home this morning. So yeah, we she's like, ta-da, here you go. It's like last weekend she'd gone down to see Jesse in Pensacola, and then this weekend she's in the hospital. So yeah, praise God, the mercies of God, she was at home when that happened. She wasn't out of state, so or in middle of the flight. Traveling sick is awful. I've done it. Went down to Texas, got sick. So we started doing that with that airborne, that teacher stuff. And vitamin C, vitamin C, vitamin C. If you're going to fly, OD on the stuff before you get on that plane. Because they are, I don't care, COVID or no COVID, an airplane is a germ tube. They're just recycling all that air. Anyhow. So we got a few prayer requests to pray for, and then we'll be dismissed, okay? Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come, Father, not with pride and arrogance in our heart, but Father, trying to have compassion on people and understand what they may be going through and the friends and the families of these people. So Father, we come believing that you will move. Now, Father, we pray for Johnny and Missy right now. Lord, we know they've already run into one snafu, but you've blessed Johnny to be able to take care of it, and he did it. So Father, we pray from this point on that their trip to Florida is smooth. It's going to be a beautiful time for them, Lord. We pray that your mercies would be with them the whole time. And even when they come back, Father, that you're going to have your hand upon them, Father. Let them just let the cares of Ohio melt off and enjoy their time in the South. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that you have blessed Don with friends who care enough to pray for him. Father, he's already had this surgery for colon cancer. Father, we thank you and praise you. They got it all. Anything that's left is cursed in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak life and health right now to his body. Father, I thank you that you're moving in him right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Pete, and I ask, Lord God, that as he's getting ready to go in to have his hip replaced, Father, that your mercy be upon him. Father, you touch him, Lord God, and Father, I thank you and praise you that Lord, that one, they can do this, and it can help us, Father. Sin has brought this garbage into our lives, Father. You've given man the ability to replace things when we've wore them out and we've abused them. So, Father, I thank you that they're going to be able to go in, Father, and they're going to replace this, Father. And that he's going to have no pain, no more issues with this, Father. He'll be able to get around. He'll be able to spend time with his grandchildren, Father, and his children. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving in his life, Father, to heal him and make him mobile once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for those who are going to be packing boxes. Right now, Lord, as they go out, the people begin to go out and they get their stuff for the boxes. I ask, Father, that you lead them to the things that these children will need. That's going to get that particular box. You know who's getting that box. So, Father, lead them to the things that they need to put in that box. Father, I thank you that we've been able to be a part of this for these past 20 years. Lord, I thank you that it has been such a privilege and an honor to see these boxes and where they go. Father, even showing me that box that was in that corner of that village in Ukraine that is now in Russia territory. Father, they're under Russian control, but yet the gospel of Jesus Christ is in Crimea. So, Father, I thank you that these boxes are going forth and they're telling people about Jesus and they're showing the mercy and the compassion of you through us, Lord. Father, I thank you for deals. Thank you for wisdom. Father, I thank you that you're going to lead and guide each and every person in Jesus' name. And Father, we are thankful to be living in this country. Father, a country that has people who have stood up in peacetime and said, we'll defend. Father, those who were drafted and stood up even and during wartime, Father, I thank you that they did what they did. And Father, I pray for those who are on active duty now. Lord, I pray that you lead them, you guide them. Father, I pray for real leadership in our military. Father, starting in Washington, D.C., with every four-star on down, with the Secretary of Defense, Father, and from the presidential office as well. Lord, we cannot afford, this country cannot afford anymore blessing our enemies with our weapons. Father, I thank you and praise you. You're protecting our troops. Father, you're going with them. You're going before them. Father, and I thank you for every troop in our military, Lord, who is born again. Lord, that you speak to them, Father. You open their eyes to IEDs. You open their eyes to an enemy threat, Father. You open their eyes to incoming projectiles, Father. I thank you and praise you that you are leading our people to protect us. Hallelujah. And Father, I now thank you for all the drugs that have been getting taken off of the roads, Lord. Even this past week, the highway we came up Lord God. Father, I read right after, in the end of October, a major drug bust, millions of dollars of drugs taken off the road because of a traffic violation. Father, I thank you and praise you that that's happening. Father, I thank you for your compassion and helping us to be compassionate towards the people. Yes, they started it, but now, Father, they're trapped. So, Father, I pray that you help them. And, Father, first thing we're going to do is we're going to start cutting off the supply, the greed. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now across this country, freeing people from this. Father, for whatever reason that they participated in it, that you are freeing them from that now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the laws that are finally coming on the ballot, even in this state, Father, to protect the unborn. Father, I thank you right now. We know there's going to be opposition, Father. I pray right now that you squelch the opposition. Father, I thank you and praise you for life. Father, that we are protecting it. Father, I do not believe at any point it was ever your will for us to kill a baby in the womb. Father, I understood why things had to happen back then, but that is then, this is now. We are in the state of grace. We are in the world with grace and your mercy. So, Father, I thank you for that. And as well as that, Father, this human trafficking. Lord God, we will not tolerate it. Father, we have children disappearing left and right around us. Father, some of them are running away. Some of them are being taken. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving to free them. Lord, I thank you that even the three children that were missing from Wayne County, Lord, they have been found. They are safe. Father, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving, that you're tripping people up. You're setting things in line, Father, that children that are being taken, Father, are being returned back to their homes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray for my friend for a new beginning in his life. Father, I ask that you move into his life. Father, you begin to open doors, Father, and give him the courage to take those steps, Father, that have to be taken. Now, Lord, we thank you and praise you for moving in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You know, folks, sometimes we forget. When we've prayed for something, it's out there. Our words never die. They are out there. They are as spiritual as God is. And those words go forth. And they're out. You can never take them back. Oh, I take that back. I take it back. You know, just like when y'all thought I was saying something negative about women talking. No. You took it wrong. That's not what I was saying. But I couldn't take it back. No matter how much I tried to backpedal. They just don't come back. But that is not what I was trying to say. Because my wife has to preface sometimes, I just want you to listen, honey. Don't try to figure out who you're going to have to kick their butt. Okay. Not anymore. She says, now listen to me all the way through. She has learned. Hear me all the way through. And she can look at me and she's like, I already know. You've already slapped somebody, haven't you? Oh, yeah, 10 times. But no. We'll start having compassion on people, folks, when we realize that that's God. Like I said, God's shown me some things for these messages, and he's coming back for a bride who's ready. He's coming back for a people that he recognizes. You know, the Bible talks about we see in a mirror clearly. We see in a mirror kind of hazy now, but then on that day we will be seen as we are known. And that's because when he told those people, depart, I never knew you, it's because they didn't know him. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew what Paul said about women not preaching. They knew this stuff, but they didn't know God. God has no problem with women teaching. None whatsoever. God doesn't have problems with things that people think he does. Well, you know, we can't do absolutely nothing on the Sabbath. You can do good. You can take somebody food. And if it's the only day that you've got that you can help somebody at their home, do it. God will give you the rest. That's why we have to keep your mind. Like, well, we try to take Mondays, but that doesn't always work out. Like, but I was able to take 2 days this week. The best time I can honestly say that I've had in a long time. And it was just too short. And I did a lot of driving. It was 8 hours of driving, round trip, which was fantastic. I wasn't exhausted. I was ready to go. God is good. Let's stand. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your compassion towards us. Father, I thank you that we're going to begin to learn more and more about you, Father, but not just because we're hearing it, but Father, we're going to go out and we're going to experience it. While that is my main way of learning, everybody can learn that way. Father, help us to see your compassion. Help us to extend that compassion to people. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving even now in our midst. Father, we pray for those families that are out sick right now. Father, I curse sickness and disease, and I speak life to their bodies right now. I thank you, Father, that Addie wasn't traveling when this thing came about. But, Father, she was where she could get to a hospital and be with family. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that she is recovering, that the textbook surgery was perfect. Father, I thank you that Pat is recovering. Father, you're healing the pain. You're causing these nerves to begin to subside from their tenderness, Lord. Father, I thank you that he will have full range of motion again. Father, I know the man's heart, so I pray, Lord, that you help him to not do anything that he shouldn't do. Lord, I love him, but he's a lot like me, and we do stupid things. So, Father, bless him. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving. You're healing your people, Father. You're touching their lives. And now, Father, I bless these. Father, the people at home, the people here, Lord, I bless them right now in Jesus' name. I ask, Father, that you move in their lives, that you open opportunities for them. Father, to show your compassion to people, which is also could be a bad thing for us if we look at it wrong. But, Father, that you open many opportunities for them as they step in your ways, they walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.